Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Wednesday, January 8th edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. Today will be a news podcast right now, and then some fight announcements and stuff, but me and Cole Shelton will be back at 11 a.m. So I said we weren't going to do a second podcast this week because there is no fight card to break down, but we decided to do a second show, and it's going to be a 2010s decade in review podcast. So in about 45 minutes from now, 50 minutes from now, we'll be doing that podcast. I'm excited to do that because honestly, 2010s are such a great time in MMA. So much to talk about. So I'm looking forward to doing that. So again, we'll be doing that after I do this podcast here. Let's get right into it. So like I said, a lot of news to talk about today, as always, and then a bunch of fight announcements. Let's start with the news. Kamaru Usman's out there, and he was asked about Conor McGregor's recent comments about possibly fighting for the UFC welterweight title, because we know Conor's fighting Cowboy at 170. He did the interview last week with the MacLife, and he said he'd consider fighting for the belt and winning a third title in the UFC. And Usman believes that if he fought him, he would retire him. He says that he would hurt him worse than Habib did, and he wouldn't want to return to the sport. And honestly, like, it's at this point, it's kind of hard to disagree with what Usman's saying. He's so good. And McGregor's a beast. Don't get me wrong. The guy's got a huge knockout power. He's a very talented athlete. But Usman with that wrestling, that cardio, and that improved striking game, I don't see how McGregor wins that fight. I'm kind of with Usman here. It's almost like a worse matchup than Habib. Habib's a nightmare matchup for most people, including Conor, obviously, as we saw. But Usman might be even worse just because he's bigger, too. So I'm with Usman on this one. If they fight Usman and McGregor, you have to pick Usman. You know, McGregor, of course, has a puncher's chance against anyone. But Usman with that wrestling and improved striking. He looks so good against Colby Covington with the striking attack. So, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of with him on this one. Would he retire McGregor? It's possible. You know, but that would probably be more about McGregor just not wanting to fight anymore, more than Usman, like, hurting him so bad that he would make him quit from the sport. But still, if they do end up fighting, which is possible, I mean, it's very possible. Just say McGregor beats Cerrone and then he beats Masvidal, he would get the title shot against Usman for sure and try to become the first triple champion in UFC history. So we'll see what happens, but there's definitely a chance this fight could happen maybe sometime later this year. And I'm sure Usman wants the fight because it's obviously a huge money fight anytime you fight Conor McGregor. Both Jorge Masvidal and GSP were asked their predictions on the McGregor and Cerrone fight, and both guys are kind of leaning towards McGregor. Masvidal believes that McGregor will be able to get off to a fast start, and we know Cerrone's not a very fast starter in a lot of his fights. He thinks, Masvidal thinks that McGregor's probably going to win that fight early on, and I'm kind of with him on that. Whereas GSP said if it's an early fight, he's picking McGregor. If the fight goes late, he's picking Cerrone. So he's kind of saved himself a little bit, GSP, on both sides of the coin, in that he can't really be wrong. I'm kind of with GSP. If the fight ends in the first two rounds, probably it's going to be most likely McGregor winning. If it goes past that, there's a chance Cerrone could win. Although I think people forget about that second Nate Diaz fight where McGregor actually, you know, quite good in that fight, going the full five rounds and really putting it on late in the fight. So, yeah, again, I'm kind of leaning towards McGregor to win this fight as well, but definitely Cerrone's got some ways to win this bout as well, considering his well-rounded game. And speaking about Masvidal, he said he talked to Dustin Poirier, and Dustin Poirier wants Colby Covington, which is really interesting. Obviously, Covington's still one of the top-ranked guys at 170, and he is coming off the broken jaw, so he's going to be out for a minute. But, man, if Poirier gets that fight, it's a big fight for Poirier because, you know, he is fighting a lightweight, and we know he needs to fight featherweight. Maybe he wants to have a fresh start at 170. I don't think he'd be that small. I think he'd be, you know, on the smaller side for sure. I don't think he'd be completely, like, the smallest guy at 170, though. It'd be interesting if Poirier fought Colby Covington. I would obviously favor Covington just based on the size and the wrestling. But Poirier with that striking attack, once again, it makes things interesting. It's pretty cool how we're starting to see guys move around weight classes and the matchups become really intriguing. Ryan Hall, he's been calling out some fighters. He wants to have a fight. Apparently, it has been turned down by a lot of top-ranked guys. And it's hard to blame them because, man, this guy's dangerous. And he doesn't have a huge name. I think MMA hardcore fans know who Ryan Hall is. But he doesn't have, like, a massive name by any means. The thing about Ryan Hall is he just has that nasty submission game, and he can really hurt you. Like, look at the BJ Penn fight with the heel hook, right? Like, you could have really hurt BJ in that fight. I can't blame these guys for turning him down because he doesn't – if you beat Ryan Hall, you don't really get any farther up in the division. If you lose to him, it hurts your stock. So he's in a tough spot right now, and that's why he's taking to calling out some legends and Jose Aldo and Frankie Edgar. The only problem with this is – both those guys are fighting 135 now, including Frankie, who reiterated his plans to be back down to 135 following the loss to Korean Zombie. He still wants to move down the weight class. So Ryan Hall, you know, it's smart for him to go and put some names like Aldo and Edgar in the news, because it gets people like me talking about Ryan Hall. But at the same time, is it the smartest call up? Because these guys aren't even in his weight class anymore. Ryan Hall is a lightweight who's moving down to featherweight. And he actually fought his last fight at featherweight. He'll be fighting his next fight, I believe, at featherweight as well. But Aldo moved down to bantamweight. I don't see him moving up to featherweight anytime soon. And Edgar's moving down to bantamweight. So it's smart to call up some big names. But I don't know if these guys are the right call outs at this point in time. I think, if anything, he should have been calling out guys like, you know, Jerry Stevens. And I know Stevens just had a fight book, but someone of that ilk. Someone in that range in the UFC featherweight division, like just looking at the rankings right now, possibly someone like, I don't even know, actually. It's kind of a tough spot. Maybe Renato Moicano, because he needs a fight, although I guess he's moving to 155. So, yeah, you know what? I just said it a minute ago. It's a crazy time right now in the sport because these guys are moving up in their own weight class. And by the way, I'm looking at the UFC rankings. So Jose Aldo's ranked in two weight classes right now, number 8 at 135, number 9 at 145. Including one spot below Jeremy Stevens, who we absolutely starched, and two spots below Renato Moicano, who we absolutely starched. UFC rankings make no sense. That's stupid. All right, Marcus got a question. If Leon Edwards is booked to fight Tyron Woodley and Masvidal decides to fight Connor, if Connor beats Cerrone, who would Usman fight next? Yeah, I mean, I'm wondering the same thing. It looks like the Edwards-Woodley fight's going to happen at UFC London. Woodley says he's accepted it. We know Edwards wants that fight. It's a great fight. I love that fight. That fight's in March, Marcus, so I'm assuming Usman's just going to wait. He only fought twice last year. I mean, it's possible he just fights, you know, once or twice this year as well. At that point, he'd just probably have to wait for the winner of that fight, or even just to see what happens next week. I mean, everyone's waiting on what happens next week. That fight with McGregor and Cerrone is going to dictate a lot what happens in the UFC welterweight division and the lightweight division, to be quite frank. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, Masvidal wants that money fight, Marcus. He wants that Conor McGregor fight. He doesn't really want the title shot necessarily. I think he'll take it if he has to, but I think he wants that McGregor money fight. And for Edwards, I think he actually wants a title shot more than like a money fight. He wants to be the champion, but he's got to get by Woodley, and that's not going to be an easy fight for him. That's a very interesting fight. All right, let's get to some fight announcements here. Some good ones coming up. I like this fight. Alex Oliveira, the cowboy, taking on Max Payne Griffin at UFC 248. Really fun fight here. Alex Oliveira was supposed to fight Mickey Gall. The fight was canceled for some reason. No one really knows why. But Alex Oliveira is a very good fighter, of course. And he is coming off 3 straight losses to Nicholas Dalby, Mike Perry, and Gunnar Nelson. But I still think the guy's super dangerous. We can't forget the way he looked against Carlo Bertasoli Jr. and Carlos Condit in 2018, where he absolutely smashed both those guys. And he has some other really good wins, like Tim Means, Will Brooks. He's finished a lot of really good fighters. So this guy's super dangerous. I do think he's a really good fighter. He's kind of had a bad run right now, but I think he can bounce back here when he takes on Max Griffin. Max Griffin's a solid fighter too, but again, a flawed fighter. And he's you know, had some losses in his career, including his last fight against Alex Morono, lost decision. He's actually lost 3 of his last 4 fights. The Thiago Alves fight should have been a win for him, but still, you know, he's been a little consistent in the UFC. I do think he's a quality fighter, though. It's a very interesting fight. It's going to be a fun fight. Could be fight of the night contender at UFC 248. I kind of lean towards Oliveira a little bit. I just think he's a little bit more well-rounded and a little bit more dangerous, but it's a very good fight for sure. Also on that card, we got Rodolfo Vieira against Saperbeg Safarov, so a fight that I don't think that many people are going to be super interested in, but we got Vieira, and he's coming off a really nice win over Oscar Pechoda in his UFC debut, 6-0 now. So he's actually looked really good. He takes on Safarov here. And Safarov's actually 1-2. He's coming off a win, his first win in the UFC over Nikolai Negromirano. But he did lose by stoppage to Tyson Pedro and John Volante. And he's a very flawed fighter. If you guys remember this guy, he's just a very sloppy, wild fighter. And I don't like him in the spot against Vieira, who's very talented, especially on the ground, where we have seen Saperbeck Safarov get submitted by Tyson Pedro by Kimura. So I think Vieira probably gets his fight to the ground and probably wins the fight by submission. The UFC probably is banking on him to get the win. UFC Brasilia gets a really fun lightweight bout between Francisco Trinaldo and John McDessie. I'm surprised these guys haven't actually fought before. It feels like they've been around the UFC forever. Trinaldo's 41, but he's still ticking, and he is coming off a nice win over Bobby Green. He's been a little consistent lately with win-loss over his last 6 fights, but still a very dangerous guy, even at his elder age of 41. He has some really good wins in his career, of course, over Paul Felder, Jim Miller, Evan Dunham. So some solid wins for sure. And he takes on John McDessie, who's also been around for a while, 34 years old now. So still relatively young, but definitely getting up there at this point. And he's been around the UFC for 10 years and still taking. So good for him. He's actually on a 3-fight win streak. Beat Jesus Pinedo, Ross Pearson, Abel Chihillo in his last 3 fights. This is a really close fight for sure. It is in Brazil, so I think people will lean towards Ronaldo here. But McDessie stylistically has a good chance to win this fight because I do believe he is the better striker. And as long as this fight stays in the feet, he's going to have a really good chance to get the win. So, you know, most people will be favored Ronaldo here. But I think stylistically, it's actually not a bad fight for John McDessie. And the last fight title here, Luis Pena will be taking on Alex Munoz, UFC newcomer from the Contender Series. Luis Pena is coming off a really close fight against Matt Frevola, which could have went either way. A lot of people thought that Pena should have won or maybe a draw. It was kind of a crazy fight. The scoring was really weird in that fight. There was like opposite 10-8 rounds in some ways. But before that, he had absolutely dominated Matt Wyman, destroyed Matt Wyman, which was a huge win for him. He also beat Steven Peterson in a featherweight bout where he missed weight. But I think back at lightweight, it's a good weight class for him. Overall, Pena is 3-2 in the UFC. And he's taking on Munoz here. And Munoz is a very interesting prospect. This guy was on the Contender Series. He's a teen alpha male guy. He's a very good wrestler. He's 5-0 in his career. He is coming off a win over Nick Newell in the Contender Series. And he also picked up a win in Hawaii in his last fight, where Dana White was actually in attendance for that fight. So he's actually 6-0. Sherdog didn't update their record. He's 6-0. And he beat Troy Lampson in his last fight. This guy is a very good fighter. It's been, you know, almost a year now. Or yeah, it's been way over a year, actually. A year and a half since he fought the Contender Series. The win over Nick Newell was kind of a, you know, it was a fight that the UFC, I think, wanted him to win. But still, I think they made him wait a little bit longer than a lot of us thought that he needed to get in the UFC. I think he's ready for the UFC. And honestly, I do like Luis Pena, but Munoz, I do believe, probably gets the job done and wins this fight. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, interesting matchup. I think that's going to be it for as far as news and fight announcements go. I'm just double checking to see if I missed anything. But like I said, I'll be back at 11 a.m. with Cole to do the decade in review. And I'm looking forward to doing that, guys. So if you have any questions for that, go shoot them to me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin because you know, we're taking any sort of categories or questions you guys want to talk about. But we do have a lot of categories and a lot of awards to hand out. And I'm just looking at news. I don't see anything else that I was missing. Just as Sonya is saying, the Romero fight's a done deal, but we don't have an official word from the UFC yet. Hopefully very soon. All right. Follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin podcast. And a lot of my articles over at MMAoddsbreaker.com. It's going to be a big year for the website. Also check me out at BJPenn.com and MMAratings.net, where again, I have my 2019 year-end awards over there. All right, guys, that's it for this podcast. I'll be back in about 40 minutes with Cole Shelton to do the 2010s decade review. Guys, have a good morning, and I'll see you very soon. Kevin, I see your question right now. I'll answer it really quickly before I get out of here. Conor's next opponent will probably be either Nate Gaethje, Tony Habib, Poirier, Masvidal, Usman, Covington. Would you favor to win any of those? I only see Nate as a winnable fight. Am I forgetting someone? I think you got them all, buddy. Yeah, I mean, if he beats Cowboy, I'm assuming Masvidal is going to be next, and I would favor Masvidal. I think most people would. Nate is a fight he would win probably at this point. I do believe he'd be favored against Nate. The Gaethje fight's interesting. It could be either way as far as the betting line goes. Tony would obviously be a big favorite over Conor. Habib would be a big favorite. Poirier, that's an interesting fight because Conor's knocked him out, but the weight class is different now. I think Conor would be favored in that fight, actually. Masvidal, he would obviously be an underdog. Usman and Covington, I think. Well, Usman for sure, Conor would be an underdog. The Covington fight, I think some people would actually just bet against Kevin because they don't like him, but it's interesting. If you want, Kevin, you can come back on the podcast at 11 and ask any more questions you have, or we can talk about that question a little bit more. Anyways, that's it for today's this morning's podcast. I'll be back very soon with Cole to do the 2010s decade review. Guys, have a good morning, and I'll see you very shortly. Bye.